We're on this morning with David Fowler, the Senior Vice President of Capital Markets at Associated Bank. David, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning, Stephen. Happy New Year to you and all your listeners.
The same to you, and happy Brexit as well, I suppose, since the last time we talked. The divorce of the United Kingdom from Britain, from the European Union, has been completed, and we want to talk a little bit about that today. First of all, it took long enough to get this done.
They did, but in the end, you know, as ever, it's always in the last minute. So it's surprising how they could manage to get a 1,264-page document ready in a couple of days, unless they had something cooking already. But, yep, as you say, they've put together a deal. I think we'll find out how good the deal is over time, but at least there's something, right?
Yeah, in the short term, we haven't seen the huge lines of trucks backed up waiting to get in or the problems at the ports that had been promised, but we are hearing lots of businesses talk about all of the red tape that's involved in this. Talk to us a little bit about what you've been hearing about what's been happening there and what we might uncover as we move forward.
Well, I think what we're seeing is kind of a two-pronged situation. So one of the reasons people are saying that we're not seeing the pileup of trucks at ports is because volumes are actually down about 50% from this time last year. And part of that is because of this, you know, this change in the trading relationship. Boris Johnson and the British government, you know, made a big deal about, you know, this is going to be free, unfettered trade. Well, it may be free trade to an extent. It's certainly not unfettered. Brand new documentation is required for goods leaving the UK into the European Union and also European Union goods going into the UK. And this is causing people, you know, quite a lot of difficulty, partly because people just don't know what they're supposed to have. They've only had a couple of days really to get organized. And it seems as though some of the regulations are kind of evolving as people do them. So I don't know if your listeners are aware, but there was this conversation with the CEO of Marks & Spencer's last week. And for your listeners that aren't familiar with Marks & Spencer's, this is a large kind of department store. Sells, you know, clothes and lots of other things. But one of the things they also sell is food. And they're kind of like a Trader Joe on kind of steroids, you know, nice quality stuff. A lot of it is kind of prepackaged and ready to roll. And one of the things that they have that is very popular is a product called Percy Pig. And the plight of Percy Pig is kind of interesting, I think, in terms of what's happened since the trade agreement. Percy Pigs are a children's candy. They're manufactured in Germany. And up to the end of December, they will be manufactured in Germany, driven across Europe to the UK, go to a UK distribution point, and then be kind of subsequently delivered out to the different store locations in a classic kind of hub and spoke arrangement. Now, because Percy is still made in Germany, if he goes into the UK, there's documentary requirements that have to be met because it's a food product, so therefore there's phytosanitary and all this stuff. If it's re-exported then from the UK, for example, to Marks & Spencer's in Ireland, it is now a product leaving the UK and going into the European Union, whereby there is another set of regulations, including the collection of VAT. And because there's no VAT agreement between the UK and the EU anymore, all of this stops activities. So what we're seeing is that hauliers don't want to do EU-UK runs anymore, because the time involved is becoming ridiculous. They don't want to do partial shipments because for every, you know, if you have a truck that's carrying product for maybe four companies, each one of those companies has to have its own individual customs documentation, and each one will be checked individually. So therefore, you know, what was, you know, the truck rolls onto the ferry in, you know, Lough, rolls off the ferry in Dover and hits the motorway. Now it could be hours, and every truck has to be checked. So it is causing a certain amount of consternation in terms of flow of goods. Certainly there are shortages of things in the supermarkets and stuff like that, particularly fresh goods that were coming from the European Union into the UK. And I think, you know, people are realizing that, you know, leaving the trading arrangement that they had for 40-odd years has probably more parts to it than maybe they originally thought.
Yeah, and there's one story that jumped off the page at me that involves a ham sandwich. There's a story about somebody traveling from one part of Europe into the into Britain, and they apparently had some sort of ham sandwich with them. There's new rules for all kinds of things, but you mentioned the food specifically, and people just don't know what these rules are.
Yeah, and that's the real problem. So, you know, anyone that's flown in from Europe into O'Hare has, you know, witnessed the dogs checking your bags, customs dogs sniffing your bags because they're looking for food products. And, you know, if you bring an apple in from, you know, the EU in your pocket because you forgot to leave it on the airplane, you know, woe betide you. And it's the same now between the UK and the EU. You can't bring food products from Britain into the European Union without having a special license. So these truck drivers who would normally, just like anybody else, would, you know, basically have some food in the truck to cover them while they're going on their trip, you know, all of that has to be, unfortunately, forfeited, and it will be the same on the other way. So, you know, the European lorry driver with his big baguette is not going to be able to bring that into the UK either. But it's just, again, it's all of these rules that no one ever thought about. Now, suddenly, because once the UK left the European Union, it's like it's a new country. And unless it has a specific rule, an agreement with the EU, it has no rule or specific agreement. So there are many, many aspects of day-to-day life that aren't being covered anymore. And these things will, you know, in time it will get sorted, but it will take time. And to be honest with you, the one that's probably the most pressing is for the financial services side. Because, as you may or may not be seeing, European share trading, for example, has had to leave London and go back to the EU capitals. And that's worth $10 billion a day. Because, you know, the EU has a regulatory system that the UK is not part of anymore. And the UK will have to get agreements with each member state individually in order to operate within their jurisdictions. So the City of London, so what they call the City of London, the financial area, is suffering a major hit and will continue to do so. So there are areas where this is really, really significant because the knock-on effects in terms of employment, in terms of property values, both residential and commercial in the southeast of England, all of these things are being spun along because there's just no agreement.
David, I'm always asked by investors, well, I'm in the U.S., I don't normally have exposure to international goods, international markets. What's my exposure here? How does this impact me? And I never know how to answer them.
Well, I think this one actually is kind of interesting because, you know, if you look around the Chicago area in particular, there are large numbers of corporations that have operations in the European Union. And for the, and in many cases, you know, have operations in multiple countries, member states within the European Union, including the UK. So if you have, for example, a UK manufacturing location and you were sourcing raw materials from, say, some other part of the European Union, now, you know, your supply chain is going to lengthen. The amount of inventory that you're going to have to hold is going to increase. Your costs of doing business from a regulatory point of view and a customs and transportation and logistics are all going to increase. And your opportunity to increase your margins to compensate you are probably limited. So for companies like that, and there are many, they are seeing that this is going to cause, you know, significant impact to their bottom line and may in time cause them to rethink how they operate. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, things we talk about in Brexit are kind of, you know, they don't affect everybody. This is going to affect a lot of people. And it's going to affect people, you know, when they go to the shops. They'll find the stuff is more expensive or there'll be less stuff, or, you know, less variety. So this will have a kind of real-life effect, both for people in Britain, people in the European Union, but also people outside of those two countries that either import from either of those countries or export to.
Like a lot of things, small businesses often see the bigger impact from stuff like this. And I saw one statistic that's, you know, like the United States in Britain, about 61% of small businesses, about 61% of the economy is made up of small businesses, the jobs, the other things that it creates. And so do you foresee we will see hits to small businesses there? And is there any going back on what has happened here?
Well, I think the second aspect of that question is, which look is the easiest one to answer, right? So I think there's no going back, or at least not for the foreseeable future. I don't think there is an appetite in the UK to do it yet, and certainly in the European Union, they've spent 5 years going through this. They don't want to spend another 5 years reversing it. So I don't think there's much appetite there. In terms of small businesses, I think they will be definitely impacted, because lots of small businesses, you know, operate on pretty small margins. And they don't have, you know, they don't have internal expertise and, you know, customs documentation and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, the fact that they now have to do a number of different kind of activities, from filling out customs forms to collecting VAT to be resubmitted back to another revenue authority. This is not stuff that they have expertise in, and they've never had to do it before. So there's a big learning curve, and it's going to be expensive. And you may see a lot of small businesses that were kind of operating on anywhere in the European Union approach now to, you know, not operating outside of the UK if they're based in the UK, or not operating in the UK if they're based outside it. It's going to be very difficult. But I think it's between this and obviously all the kind of economic upset we're seeing from COVID, it's going to be hard. And, you know, just kind of one statistic I saw is that, you know, red tape is expected to account for 1% of UK GDP this year, which is a lot. So I think that this change is quite a significant change, and it's going to cause, I think, changes not only to how business is done within the European Union and the UK respectively, but also how other companies from third countries, so for example like the United States, when they look at, you know, operating within the European Union or the UK, you know, how they look to the attractiveness of doing that will change too.
David, always great talking with you. I have a feeling that as our Brexit expert, this is just the beginning of our conversations, even though we've been talking about it for many years.
It seems like we've talked about nothing else.
Seems like that. How can people get a hold of you, David, and have a one-on-one if they want?
Certainly. You can always call us. The Trading Desk phone number is 866-524-8836. By email, my name is David Fowler, so it's David.Faller, FALLER, at associatedbank.com.
All right, David, thank you very much. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.